1 Samuel 17, 4, starting there. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with the coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in arms, out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And by ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, and that we may fight together." Then when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and were frightened or afraid. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before thy throne of grace. We thank thee for the availability you give us, that we have a place that we can worship and meet, and we have your word, and you've given us prayer that we might speak unto thee, and thy spirit that speaks unto us through thy word and to our hearts. We thank thee for all the provisions that you made for us, and let us be satisfied with the things that you do give us. We ask your mercies upon our lost loved ones, that you'd have mercy upon them, they might be pleased to save them for Christ's sake, and that we, your servants, might be more Christ-like, and that others might truly see Jesus Christ in us. We praise thee and thank thee in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Yeah. Serving God with what you have available, Goliath's height, of course, is always a big argument on how big he was, using a span about 9 inches. If a cubit was 18 inches, then he'd be 9 foot 6. 21 cubits, he'd be 11 foot 4 inches. And his helmet and all the all his armor that he had on was around 180 pounds. And the spear be approximately 30 pounds. The spearhead was 15 pounds, and you have to counterweight that with the shaft. And so the usual rule of thumb is, a cubit is from the tip of your finger to your elbow, and the rule of thumb is 18 inches or a foot and a half. Angel span, or sometimes referred to as a king span, would be 21 inches. And so it depends on what cubic is a cubic. And there's some that go down to 6 foot something, but that's using a Septuagint. And all indications, that's completely wrong. The biblical account of David and Goliath has often been used, the little guy against the big guy, or the small guy against the big group, or a small church against the big churches, and we just go on and on and on the different ways that people use this. And a lot of people don't even know, I mean, it's a saying that people use sometimes, they don't even know what the basis of it is. Now, we have been brought up in church because we've heard this from knee-high, you know, on up. First, we must start with the knowledge that God is everything that we have need of. We don't need anything outside of Christ. There are things that God uses, or that he lets us use to perform the things that he'd want to perform. Then, I mean, did he really need Aaron to hold the rod over top of the Red Sea as he parted it? Did he really need him to take that and bring it back across and bring the sea back into place, or to cross the Jordan, or we could go on and on and on. God is everything we need. Sometimes God puts things in our hands or in our hearts or our mind that he wants us to do, and he uses things that we have available, or as we mentioned before, our weakness and different things that God uses. And so when we think about the things that God would have us to do. Many times or sometimes we think we need something else. Usually if God calls us to do something, He either has it right there or He's going to make it available or it'll be available when you need it. As the case with David, it was available when he needed it. He didn't bring it with him, but when he needed it, it was there. And so sometimes we need to just walk out on faith and depend upon God to make the provisions. Other times, God requires us to take the provisions with us. And so we need to be sensitive how God would have us to do. He chooses what to use and how to use it. And he discovered that God had prepared him beforehand. And many times we will tell the Lord, we can't do this, we can't do that. And we'll give an excuse why we can't. And nonetheless, God has prepared us or is preparing us for whatever He's called us to do. If it's urgent, like it was with David and Goliath, you're already ready. You're there. It's time to act and time to work. Of course, David didn't backstep. David didn't back down. He went out, if you will, against his adversary, and God gave him the victory. God prepares His people for the work He has for them to do. And from our birth, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has prepared, which has before ordained that we should walk in them. Some believe that He started preparing it, all this, when we were saved. Now He's already prepared. He already ordained it from the foundation of the world. And you was in the preparatory, if you will, mold when you was born. God put you in the family He wanted you in. He put you in the conditions, circumstances, and all that you were in, just like David was here. And when it comes time to do a work, all these things will work together, if you will, to fulfill God's desire or plan for your life. Everything in every way, whether we realize it or not, the Spirit is preparing us in ways that we don't even understand. Sometimes is that we have a greater faith. Sometimes we take time to look and see what God is doing. And there's circumstances and times in our life where we could point back and we know in our heart that God worked a miracle here. There was something unique about that time. And it is something that God uses over in our life as we face new challenges and new things that we can see those things, whether it be our salvation or intervention in different places that God has intervened in the past and has put a special note in our mind, or at least that's what I call it. Those things that when you start something, it pops up, and you remember how God's seen you through that and got you through that circumstance or situation. And so all the time we're being prepared. God is working in us and bringing about His goodwill and pleasure. He's arming us with the Word of God. He tells us what He expects for us to do. I was talking about earlier, sometime I have somebody say, well, they just wasn't growing like they thought they should. If you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to grow. I can just tell you that. If you come here to the preaching service and your mind's out on fishing, you're not going to gain anything there either. And if you're down, bad-mouthing the Sunday school teacher or the preacher or somebody else, then you're not going to get anything out of it anyway. God sets before us the things that we have need of, and if we're students like David was, then we'll be absolutely prepared for the things that God has for us. And so it comes time for us to act, then we're to use what God makes available for us. The problem, verses 10 and 11, and it says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day, give me a man, and that we might fight together. And so here we have the problem. His name is Goliath. And really the problem, although he's standing there fully armed and he's a Philistine, the enemy of Israel, he's standing there and he's mocking them. He's belittling them. He's standing out there and he said, I'm just one man, is what he's saying. If you just send somebody out of here, we'll fight together. Whoever wins is the winner of the whole thing. You just take everything. And Goliath said, if you win, then we'll serve you, and if I win, then you'll serve me. And, of course, the Israelites are just shaking in their boots, and Goliath out there is mocking them and making fun of them at that time. Israel thought that the problem was a Philistine, as we mentioned before, named Goliath, and I thanked him and said he looked like a tank. I mean, he was like an embodied tank. He had all the armor. He had everything, you know, that you could imagine, 180 pounds of armor. I mean, let me say to you, that's a lot of armor. And as he prepared for the battle, and they were intimidated by his size, by his armor, by his confidence, and by his words. There was nothing about this man that gave them any hope. They was completely and totally intimidated by this one man standing out there. They didn't think they were big enough. They didn't think they were capable enough to fight this adversary that stood right before them. They claimed God as the God of their army, the God of Israel, and yet they were just if you will, like fading away in the presence of this one man. Goliath became bigger and bigger and bigger, and they became smaller and smaller and smaller in their own sight. We're reminded in Judges, the 13th chapter, where he says, "Then there he saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." And this is the way they seen themselves back in the wilderness journey. This is exactly the way they seen themselves standing before Goliath. He taunted them, and they were paralyzed. They were paralyzed with fear. They was unable to encourage themselves in the Lord. They was unable to encourage one another in the to take a charge of the field and attack. They were intimidated. They couldn't do anything. They had forgotten again, as we mentioned before, the Lord their God. How many battles that God in the past had already won. I mean, Saul, when he first started out, God blessed him and blessed him. And of course, we know by this time he's already separated himself from God and going in the wrong direction. They forgot that God is greater than all their troubles, all their problems. You don't have a problem that's not too big for God. Sometimes we magnify the problem, we make it worse, and we get it to bigger than what we believe God can take control of, or that he can defeat, or he can do away with, or that he can, if you will, give you the courage to go through it. There's not such a problem. God is bigger than all of our problems. They forgot God is able in his own self to win the victory. I mean, what did Josiah use when he, not Josiah, Jehoshaphat, when he went out and against the enemy in the second battle there, he sent the choir out. I mean, the choir went out first, and then they went out behind them. Did they have all their swords? No, they went out behind them to go spoil the enemy. And they spoiled them all the way to the river. And they was running and running and running because they heard noise. And so the choir went out. I particularly like that because it just shows how much trust they had in God that the choir would actually start out and go into the battle. And there God gave them the victory. So they forgot. And God is looking for saints or people to bless. And we've read this several times. I'm just going to mention, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, and to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And that's 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. And that's just the first part. We know the last part speaks about Asa. The Lord God is not even mentioned until David mentions them there in verse 37 in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And so David had been prepared. He fought the lion, fought the bear, and he was, if you will, capable because he trusted God. And God had already prepared him. God had already tested him. He knew that God, with God, he could do anything. And so he gave him the courage. We're not seeing someone that's just shaking in his boots and going forward. And sometimes that's what bravery is. Against all your fears, you go out and face the enemy anyway. But this is not like that. David's got righteous indignation written all over him, and he's willing and able to go to the battle. David's confidence in God was formed while taking care of the sheep out on the back of 40, I always call it. And as he had taken care of the sheep, he had had these obstacles in his way, and he fought them and fought them off successfully. David trusted the victory was the Lord's. Someone's talking about his accuracy with his sling, you know. What do you think a young kid's going to do out there by himself? He's got this big flock of sheep, and he's got this sling. I tell you what he's going to be doing a lot of his time. He's going to be hitting things, taking that sling and letting it fly. This, I think he's been an expert at sling throwing. I mean, he knew exactly what he needed, what size rock. He knew everything about it. He was prepared. David trusted the victory again as the Lord's, and as we mentioned before, he was used to as a shepherd boy, and he was looked at this well-trained army soldier standing before him, and Goliath was not just big; he was a trained man. He was a warrior, and he was ready for battle. David looked at his age and ability, looked at David and looked at him and say, "Well, who are you?" I can imagine. I don't know how old David is. Everybody gives a different name or age, you know, that he was. How old he was when he went to play the harp for Saul. And some have him around 9, 10 or something like that. And then they put him up 15, 16. So I don't know how old he was. But he was young enough that when Goliath looked at him, he thought it was a joke. I mean, here this kid's coming up there, this teenager probably. He's coming up here. He doesn't have a sword in his hand. He doesn't have a spear in his hand. Goliath probably seen his sling, but he wouldn't have thought anything about the sling that he had before him. And so David had already experienced God's power, as mentioned before, the lion and the bear. David had already experienced the victory that God gave him. Of course, we know with the account that he took part of the lamb out of their mouth, and so the lamb had been killed, or the sheep had been. But nonetheless, he did win the victory over them. And he knew that God was greater than all of his problems. David questions a question to Israel there in verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now, this is a man that's got righteous indignation. He's not shaking his boots and thinking, "Well, I don't know if anybody could be able to whip this guy." He's sitting there and said, "You've already should have done it. You should have already taken care of this man and taken over the battle and won it." David thought how foolish Goliath was to defy the armies of the living God. And David knew that his God was able to do whatever God would have them to do, that there's no deficit with God. And sometimes it is knowing what God would have you to do. That's the main thing. It should be, what would God have me to do in this circumstance and situation? It's not going to be like the situation last week. It may be the same. It looks like to us the same circumstances, but as you see the different ways that David fought the battles and Jehoshaphat fought his battles and different ones through the scripture. You see, one time David met him straight on. Next time went over by the mulberry trees and went down that way and attacked them. And so he did it different ways. Same situation, same army coming against him. There's the same people that want to destroy them, and yet God used different methods. So we need to know what God is using today, what God would have us to do today. That's like churches do. They see a church over here prospering, and they say, "What did you do? You know, give us the 1, 2, 3s of it." And they say, "Well, this is what we did. We did this, we did that, we did this, that, and the other. And this is the result." And so we have a big program. We get the things that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, that, and the other. And it doesn't work out like it did for the other church. And we say, "Well, you people have failed." I knew a Bible Baptist preacher. He uses Finney's 12 Steps to Revival. And he told his people when they was all over with and they didn't have a revival, he said, "You failed to do what you're supposed to do." And I thought to myself, you know, God is the giver of revival, not men. You, by doing 1, 2, 3, 4, that's not going to give you what you expect to be getting unless God tells you to do 1, 2, 3, 4. And for one church, it might work wonderful, but the other church might not work at all. Matter of fact, it may cause them to lose their church, and some of the churches expanding and building to meet the crowd they're going to have. That was one of the features that one group said, you do this, get prepared for the crowd, and then your crowd comes in. And some churches went bankrupt because they couldn't pay for the building that the new members coming in was going to pay for because they didn't come. You have to do it God's way and not man's way. And so David wondered why the soldiers of the army would allow this man to speak evil of a God of the Lord God. The preparation there in verses 38, starting there, and it says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, he didn't, the preparation here, he had Saul's giving him what he needed. He'd have armament, just like Goliath had. And I can imagine this young kid having a man's armor on him. And again, I don't know how old he is. I'm thinking he's a teenager. And he hadn't proved them. That is, he didn't know how to walk in them. I mean, if you can't walk in them, then how are you going to go fight somebody? And so he just took them off. And now he is unprotected. There's no, if Goliath throws a spear at him or something, he doesn't have any armament. If his arrow, somebody shoots an arrow from the army behind them, he has no armament. He's totally unprotected. And but yet he puts them off and dissuades to go on, or if you will, to fight and meet the enemy. David could not use the Saul's armor, the armor that was provided by Saul. Sometime when they say use things available, we got to find the right thing that's available. And they readily gave him a suit of armor and all that he would need to go out and face this Goliath, but he could not use them. Not all that we use or for the task at hand is what God has us to use. We got to find the right thing for God to have us. Finding out what's available sometimes is hard work to know for sure what God would have you to do. And David tried these other things. I mean, he did try the armor, and Saul the king said, put this on, and he did put it on, but he seen it was useless and would not give the victory. And first, God can use anyone or anything to win a victory. It's not, sometimes we think that certain kinds of people and this, that, and the other, but God can take anybody to win the victory. And one of the things that we find as we read the scripture, we find God uses all kinds of people, you know, that the Canaanite lady, the woman, I can't think of her name now, that killed the king with a nail and a hammer, you know. We say, anyway, the general, I can't even think of his name now, but general anyway, he didn't get the glory. She got the glory because God gave it to her because he refused to go out in the forefront or, if you will, to lead the way in the battle until Deborah told him that she would go with him. Do we wonder how David filled his time? And I mentioned before practicing with the sling. I don't think there'll probably be anybody that can compare with him. David used what he had available, a God-approved method for him. There in verse 40 that we already read, that he took up the five smooth stones. He knew exactly what kind of stones he needed. They were available to him. I don't think he had to get down and look through the stream and find out which one he wanted. And I think he reached down and quickly found the five stones that he wanted and put them in his satchel. And so there's five smooth stones. David did all that he had to do, and he got them and was ready to go. We think of five, and sometimes if you're in numerology, five is the number of grace. If we think about dealing with wild beast environment, you know, you don't want to just have one shell. You might have another varmint you might want to hit too. And so he went out prepared and with the different stones. It only took one stone for Goliath, but he was prepared if anybody else come along during the fight. Others, Saul and the army, thought they needed something that they did not have available. They thought they needed something else to face Goliath. They needed either somebody that was either extra stupid or extra brave to go out against this man, a real warrior that go out there, and they didn't have anybody that they could send. None would go on their own. They were two things. They needed the Lord, and that is unwavering faith. There in James 1, 6, and 7, in the book of James, But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven in with wind and tossed. But for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That verse 7, to me, is one of those important verses in the Bible. Sometimes we talk about our confidence in God, and as we're speaking about this afternoon, that David, you know, he was going against it, but he had a faith that was unwavering. He wasn't tossed by the sea thinking, I believe I can beat him. No, I don't think I can. I believe I can beat him. I don't think I can. That wasn't the way he was. He wasn't wavering like the sea. He wasn't like a wave coming in and then going back out again. He's standing strong in the faith. And sometimes the reason that we have difficulty is because we're not standing unwaveringly. And the faith needs to be unwaveringly trusting in the Lord our God. For he is able to do all things, and he is able to win the day and the victory. The rest saw Goliath as a giant too mighty, too strong, too fierce. David saw him as he was before God, an opportunity to the glory of God. He didn't see him as an obstacle that he, like a death, that he's going to do a death fight and go in there, you know, and just fight to the death. He's seen his opportunity to bring honor and glory unto God. The prevailing power, of course, is God. There in verse 41 of 1 Samuel 17. And the Philistine came out and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy in a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest out with staves? And the Philistines cursed David and by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh, for unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. Then David then said David to the Philistine, thou comest with me a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And so David knew exactly what he was doing. I don't think we can find anybody in the Scriptures any more brave than David was that day when he went out to fight. And yet he knew that the victory had absolute confidence. And I think sometimes that's the reason that we get nervous. We don't have absolute confidence that God is going to do what we think God is leading to do and what we look to God for him to do. And the point of that is you better know what you're into and what if God's in it or not. Just say, somebody said, well, I got faith. Well, you better be this good faith that God gives you in this matter rather than somebody talked you into doing something. Everybody here is talking against David at the first. And Saul's about the only one that even encouraged him any. If you read I know that all of you read this before. And so he was ready to do battle, if you will, before them. Verse 45, as he said, whom thou hast defied, Goliath come out with his armor, his spear, and then the shield bearer went out before him and carrying his shield. And what are we to do in the name of the Lord our God? Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom give thanks to God and the Father by him. And David proved his name, or if you will, in verse 46 and 47, this is the name of the Lord. And it says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword, and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give into your hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and David and drew near to meet David, and David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. And David put his hand in his bag, took out thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw it, their champion was dead. They fled. They fled, and that's all it took. And we see that David, somebody said, well, which killed him? Well, the stone killed him, but he says, I'll separate your head from your body. That's what he told him when he went into the battle. And that's exactly what he did. Faith is the victory that they won that day, overcame the enemy. There in verse 50, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, pursued the Philistines until they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shemaram, and even unto Gath, unto Ekron, and the children of Israel returning from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to the Jerusalem, put his armor in his tent. And so they had the victory that day, and the enemy start fleeing, then the army of Israel come to life. And sometimes that's what it needs. It needs somebody to trust the Lord, and then God's people will get up and trust the Lord also. Sometimes it takes one person to ignite a church or to ignite children of God to do the work that God's called us to do. And there's many times when we get downtrodden or we get in our mind, we're downtrodden. We can't do this, we can't do that, can't do this, that, or the other. The point is, what does God would have us to do? Then do it. And we are able to do whatever God calls us to do. Our faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, and the victory that overcomes the world. There in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth in Jesus, the Son of God. And so whatever victory that we have need of, whatever we need to overcome, we can do it in Christ Jesus by trusting him. There's not anything that's too big or too small or too anything that God cannot accomplish through his people. And again, just like I mentioned, did he need the staff to go over the Red Sea to open it up or to close it? He didn't need that. He didn't need for Moses to get out there and disturb a little dust and lice come and fill the air. He didn't need that. God can do all things in the way that pleases him, but he uses his people to accomplish his work. When the Philistines saw the power of God in this small young boy, and if you've ever seen just someone standing as like 5'5", standing beside a 7-foot basketball player, you can see that, you know, that really looks unbalanced. That the person that's small or 5'5" or 5'8", all of a sudden they look like they're 2 foot or something. And this is the way it was and compared to the two that fought that day. They became afraid and fled by one boy. As soon as they seen Goliath fall, they ran. They was fleeing from Israel. God's provisions are right where you are. Use what you have available. Fulfill your calling in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think that we need something else, and sometimes we do. But if we need it, God's going to apply it or give it to us. We find that you can overcome the Goliaths in your life. You can overcome any difficulties by the grace and power of God. No mountain too high, depths too steep or deep, seas too rough, storms too great, for our Lord Jesus Christ to give the victory to His people. Jesus is able to do all things. God has prepared you for the task at hand. Prepared you for, as we read in Ephesians 2nd chapter and 10th verse, that God ordained these things and has prepared us. And all it takes is we take what God has given us and accomplish the task that God's laid before us. We need to walk by faith today, and if you will, tomorrow. We need to face the Goliath of today and be ready for the Goliath of tomorrow. We need to, if you will, be encouraged in the Lord. David, if you remember, on another occasion when he was almost at the point and brink of being the king, just a few months, and he would be king over the southern kingdom, and his soldiers ready to stone him because of Ziklag and how the enemy had come in and taken all their family and all their and spoiled their city there. And they's ready to stone David, and it said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And many times that's what we need to do in the face of danger, or we need to encourage ourselves at that minute, at that second, in the Lord. And David sought the Lord in that, and of course, the next thing we know, they won the victory, got back all their family members, got back the spoils, and then he's moving on to be king of the southern kingdom. We need to walk the faith today and be prepared for tomorrow. Can we do more? Can we expect more of God? How big is your God? I heard this preached one time. I wasn't too excited about when I heard it preached, but there is a truth. How big is our God? And I'm talking about in our sight. When we think about what God can do, we say, well, he done this for David, he done that. But the question is, what can he do in your life? What is he able to do? What is it that you think that you should do and cannot do because you feel like you're paralyzed in there, or you just don't feel like you have whatever whatever it takes to do it? God is bigger than all of our problems. We are to act by faith, unwavering faith. We need more than one giant to face. Our God can win all the victories. Each one of us have faced giants in our lives at one time. So many times there may be financial, they might be family, there might be all kinds of things that there. Some things that we seem like we can't get around. We just can't get around them. We can't get over them. We're just going to have to go through them. And that takes, if you will, the grace of God. Our limitations is not limited in Christ. We have limitations. David's just a man. I mean, if Goliath had stabbed him with a spear, he'd been dead. But that wasn't going to happen. And the reason why, because God was in control of all things. Sometimes we think only God's control of our side. He's control of all sides. We are not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Every living saint has no excuse because our sufficiency is not of us. It is amazing sometimes. We read stories about people that are crippled or burned at this and that and the other and how they serve the Lord. And God uses them as examples to us to tell us we can serve the Lord too, just like they do. And we don't have the impediments maybe that they do, but we still can serve the Lord and should serve the Lord greater and better. We've got to be about the Father's business. The success of our faith today is our provisions for tomorrow. If David hadn't whipped the bear and whipped the lion, if David hadn't been on the back of the desert and was an expert slingshot thrower, and I know God could have guided that sling without that, but God used him because he prepared him for that time. But not only for that time, it put this man or this boy in the limelight. It put this man, this boy, before them who was yet to be king of the southern kingdom, king of all the kingdom of Israel. And this is the man that showed his love toward God, showed his kindness toward the people of God. And yes, I know he made mistakes, but you notice when he laid up his riches, and you just think of all the riches, but you see every time they're tallying up, he's putting in for the preparation of the temple. He wasn't given to money. He had other problems, but he wasn't given to money. It wasn't his weakness. He gave it all to the Lord. Who was it? In Chronicles, talked about the people of God giving, and that, of course, that was Aaron and Moses there when they was building the tabernacle, and And in the wilderness, they've given all the spoils that they have to build it, and they said, enough! And then David in the Chronicles, when he says that he praised God because God had given them the heart to give. And let me say, that's the reason that God's people can give, because God does give us a heart to give, gives us the victory, gives us everything that we have need of to do what he's called us to do.